Grace, mercy, and peace be with you here this day from our triune God. Accidental or incidental? The discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls at Qumran, was that an accidental or an incidental discovery? Although some details are somewhat sketchy about the whole discovery, what we do know is that back in 1947, a Bedouin youth found this series of clay pots in a cave in the rugged wilderness near the Dead Sea, some 1,200 feet below sea level. And in those pots were manuscripts that dated as far back as 2,000 years, give or take a decade or two. So, how were these scrolls found? Well, some reports say that the Bedouin shepherd was searching for a lost sheep or a lost goat and thus found the cave, and upon entering the cave then found where the scrolls were. That would have made it an incidental discovery. But other reports say that he was actually just sort of amusing himself by throwing some stones down into a cave until he heard the sound of a clay pot break. That would have been, of course, an accidental discovery. Now, if you go online and you search in Google for incidental discoveries, you'll find a whole host of websites where you can read stories about, say, the first microwave oven, or x-rays, or Velcro, or Play-Doh, or cornflakes. All of these things were discovered while either looking for or attempting to create something else. And in our first reading that we have this morning, we have that story about the sons of Jacob who had come to Egypt seeking food for their families during a time of famine, only then to later discover that the official who was in charge here of Egypt's food supply was none other than their little brother Joseph, whom they had sold into slavery to traders years before. And that discovery would have then made it an incidental discovery, incidental to their quest for food. But thanks as well to Joseph's goodness, it also here brings his brothers together and brings that reunion happening with grace and mercy and reconciliation, as well as a more permanent solution than to the food crisis that they were experiencing. Maybe we could consider another scriptural example here, this one from Jesus himself. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, as this parable shows here, this is an accidental discovery. And an accidental discovery can play at times a role in our faith. The kingdom of heaven can be discovered accidentally. The man in the parable just happens to be passing through a field and then, quite by happenstance, finds a treasure in that field. And then, spurred by this serendipitous kind of discovery, he hurries then back to acquire the legal ownership of that field so that he can keep the treasure. Note also here that he makes at this moment a great investment in order to get it. He sells all that he has. So the kingdom of heaven, Jesus is telling us here, has that kind of value as well for our lives. It is worth the investment of all that we possess. However, in that same chapter in Matthew 13, there happens to be another kind of discovery being made here as well. Jesus tells a different parable, one where he says the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. So unlike the other parable of the treasure in the field, the discovery of this pearl is of immense value is not really all that accidental. Rather, it's much more incidental of a discovery. The merchant, you see, had been already diligently searching for fine pearls. But now he finds one of such great value that when he finds it, he knows immediately that it is worth him selling everything else that he owns in order to acquire it. Some of us, in our search for meaning in life, may be just like that merchant. We already are actively looking for something in our life of value. And thus, when we're presented with the gospel, we realize it. We realize the worth and our willingness then to surrender all that we have to become a part of that kingdom. Nevertheless, the discovery is what is important here, always playing a role in the life of faith. And God operates in our world in such a way that a primary means of connecting us with God is through that whole seeking discovery kind of process. Perhaps that is why in Jeremiah, God says, "When you search for me, you will find me. And if you seek me with all of your heart, I will let you find me." Now, that means that some of us might not have actually been looking for God at that moment, but found God by stumbling over something else that he placed in our way. Or in other words, God is letting us find him. This friend of mine who is now a grandfather of two little girls, and last summer he was telling me the story about when he and his wife had the grandkids over to their lake home. Now, the two girls are ages 3 and 5, and they love to play hide and seek with him. So you can imagine the scene, right? He counts to 10 while they run through the yard, hiding behind bushes or trees there. And then he opens his eyes and he shouts, "Ready or not, here I come." And he would start then looking for the girls. However, the trouble with 3 and 5-year-olds who play hide and seek is that they can't stay hidden, right? They don't want to stay hidden. So only moments into the search, he reports that he saw heads bopping up above a bush or from behind a tree. And quickly, the girls popped out into plain view. "I'm here, I'm over here." Well, God is just like that. God may seem to be hidden from us sometimes, but God cannot stay hidden. God wants to be found. And when we seek God with all of our hearts, God says, "I will let you find me." When we seek God with all of our hearts, God jumps up and down, trying to get our attention. "Here I am. I'm over here." With God, there is really no accidental discoveries. We should therefore expect the unexpected on our way to doing what's expected, and be reassured that God, according to God's overwhelming grace, will be jumping up all around us, shouting, "I'm here! I'm over here." God places in our lives, in our very DNA, that need to seek. And whether we are actively looking for a solid spiritual place to stand, or we just happen to be stumbling over it as an accidental discovery, we shouldn't assume that it ends up being all about us. And it is all up to us. Rather, God is at work here making that discovery happen, making the divine discovery possible. You know, for many years, I was very used to having people that would come up to me from time to time and share with me their testimony about having had this sudden conversion to Christ. You know, but when I started to actually sit down with these folks and talk with them a little bit more about that experience, I would often find out that there were all sorts of things that had been happening into their lives at that time that had begun taking place perhaps days or maybe even weeks prior to that awakening of their spirit. Some friends of theirs might have said something that started the person thinking. Or some seemingly mundane experience may have occurred in their life, and that had pricked that person's consciousness. Or the person may have read something that caused them or to think more about issues about with regards to an eternal nature. This is God's grace preparing our hearts for an incidental discovery, one that is life-changing. The late psychologist and writer M. Scott Peck touched on this kind of an experience in his own writings. Though he had not been raised in the church himself, he gradually became aware of the activity of God in his life and eventually did become a Christian. And in his book, The Road Less Traveled, he shares here stories about some of his patients who had survived certain emotional traumas and had weathered them much better than their circumstances would have warranted. And Peck came to believe in a force of goodness in the world. In fact, he eventually even identified this force using the word serendipity, which the dictionary defines as the gift of finding valuable or agreeable things not sought for. And he also realized that the word grace also fits neatly into the same definition. So in his book, he wrote about this force using both of those words. Well, several years later, Peck happened to be on a flight to Minneapolis, and he wanted to use the flight time in order to do some writing. And so when a man took the seat next to him, Peck stayed pretty much buried in his work, and the man who was sitting beside him opened up a novel and began to read it. And thus they flew side by side to Buffalo without speaking a single word to each other. And then they both had an hour long layover in Buffalo, where they also passed time with each other, or passed time without speaking a word with each other as well. And then after reboarding and again flying in silence side by side for the next 45 minutes or so, the man finally looked up from his novel and said to Peck, "I hate to bother you, but you don't happen by any chance to know the meaning of the word serendipity, do you?" Peck, at least as far as he knew, was the only person who had ever actually written a substantial portion of a book on the subject of serendipity, and that it was probably serendipity itself at that very moment that this man had wanted to know the meaning of the word and also happened to be sitting right next to an authority on the subject. And this, of course, led to a further conversation, and Peck explained that his book was a kind of an integration of both psychology and religion. And the man said, "Well, I don't really know about religion anymore." And then he went on to tell Peck that he had been actually thinking for quite some time about leaving the church. And in response, Peck told him that questioning your faith sometimes helps a person to move from the hand-me-down religion of their childhood to a mature, personal one. So when the two of them landed in Minneapolis, the man said to Peck, "I don't have the foggiest idea what all of this means, that maybe I don't have to leave the church after all. What this man learned from Peck was actually an incidental discovery. However, it was also the power of God that made it an important one. So is there something right now that you believe is critical to your inner well-being? Something that you're looking for, but you can't quite yet find it? Well, don't give up the search. But also, don't be surprised if while you are looking for an answer, you find something that turns your search right on its head and sends you off in another direction, because God tends, you see, to work with us that way. Amen.